It is good to see everyone. Hallelujah. I wonder if anybody has a testimony or a word of thanks they'd like to give this morning. My wife. That's David bringing the mic to you.
I just want to thank the Lord for his faithfulness through the ages. And just thinking about, I feel like I've been gone forever. And so, and through that, there were so many things. And as we were singing, what came to me was, I've been faithful from the beginning, and I am faithful now, and I will be faithful through eternity. And so that is our promise. I thank him for all of you. You guys are an awesome family.
All right. Give it to Greg, because Jay Stovall's back there waving his hand.
Good morning. Psalm 59 says, you are my strength. I sing praise to you. You, God, are my fortress, my God, on whom I can rely. That's the last verse of 59. In the middle of the verse or the psalm, he tells God that he knows he can rely on him. So, Wednesday night, I worked, and then I did grocery shopping. I was on the interstate and all kinds of stuff, and I got home, and I wear compression socks, and I took my right sock off, and my shoe was filled with blood, and I looked down. I was so startled, and it looked like a little mini fountain coming out of my ankle, and I put my hand to it, and it stopped, and but every time I moved and my finger would come off that hole, it would shoot out like a little stream. And so, I called Jen, and using my left hand with the phone, my right hand was on the ankle, and then I called 911, and so I was hobbling around the house with the phone to my ear and my forefinger to my right ankle, and walking, and every time that my finger slipped off that little spot, it would spurt. And but the thing is, I wasn't afraid. I committed myself to the Lord. I was startled. I was very surprised. I wasn't that wasn't on my itinerary of things to do. I had like 10 things to do on that list, and that wasn't one of them. And but it was like God was saying, okay, I got this. Put your finger there. Use your left hand to make the phone calls. Open the front door. Sit down with your hand on your ankle and wait, And then I ended up at Maryview ER, and they put a stitch in the vein, and which that in itself sounds terrible. and it hasn't bled since, which to me is good news. I don't know. I wasn't having a good time before, but it's even better with it not bleeding. And but I could rely. And when I got to ER, they read Psalm 95 to me over their intercom system, which I thought was, pretty nice. So not Psalm 95, but that's Psalm 59 with, I think it was David saying, I can rely on you. So I was alone at the house, and I wasn't alone at the house.
Right.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else?
My estranged granddaughter in Georgia showed up at my son and daughter-in-law's home over the Thanksgiving holiday. This was huge. This was huge.
Who, now, say that again. Who showed up?
My granddaughter, my estranged granddaughter, Maddie, showed up over the Thanksgiving holidays. It's huge. This is huge.
Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we got several.
This is going to sound like a strange testimony, but I am very thankful for my husband. And Butch has been through a lot of pain, and we finally have gotten the answers. He's going to have a total hip replacement, because where his hip is supposed to be, it's nothing there at all. So I'm just thankful that we finally got to a doctor who has figured out what is wrong with my man.
Yeah. And when is that?
December 31st.
Okay. All right. We'll be praying for you. Who else? Yes.
Last week, I was making pies, and I took my wedding rings off, and I saw them on the counter with dough and everything, and I was like, I don't know. I was doing like 20 things at once. Anyway, I lost them, and so I went crazy, and I dug the trash. Try not to let my neighbors see me, because I'm always digging the trash. Anyway. So I dug
right
it like
in with
three
this
times. I'm a dumpster diver, but anyway. I couldn't find them, and I was just devastated, because we just celebrated our 40-year anniversary, and I could hear the devil say, yeah, you just crazy, you know. So I went to bed. I couldn't handle it, and I woke up in the morning, and I remember my sister saying, did you look at every piece of that trash? You want me to come over? I can dig trash. You know, I'm an expert at it. So I did it again, and I unfolded a napkin, and I could feel them. And I said, no, don't get excited. And they all three fell out.
All right.
So you have to stay married.
That's good.
Big God and the little things, right?
Well, I can honestly say that my pastor called us one day last week and said, hey, how you doing? And I very joyfully, crazily said, well, I almost answered this phone and said, hello, it's Job. I just want to confess that the 2019 has not been our best year. It is like everything that can be shaken has been shaken. Every person has been touched in one way or another. Our television even went out, and now our bathtub is leaking. So I'm talking, the truck broke down too. So I did say, so far, nothing's been destroyed by fire. And nobody's died. And for this, I can say that God has not failed us yet.
That's right.
And what I think God is showing me this year, of my last year in the 70s, thank you very much, that nothing is too big for him.
Yep.
Nothing takes God by surprise. And he's always working to bring about that which we have prayed for. The thing is, we don't know the avenues he has to take. Not by choice, but because of our free will. And I'm thankful to say he has not given up on our family. And we are going to see, Glenda had a word and I appreciated that, the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful. And I felt like I needed to be here today. Maybe why? I just miss y'all. Bob's home. He's not had his best night, but he hadn't had his worst either.
Right.
So anyway, that's all I've got to say about that. And we had Thanksgiving dinner, too.
Praise God. Amen. God is good.
It's all being refined by fire. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Linda?
We just have so many things to be thankful for. I'm just thankful for each new morning and my family, my friends. Just the abilities that the Lord gives me at work. You know, he reminds me of things that I forgot to do. I go back and do them, and it's just amazing. And I just want to read this part of this Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. We just would praise him in all situations, good, bad, or indifferent. I think we're all learning that in one way or the other. Right. But it's a daily decision, right, to, you know, walk it out and praise him even though you don't feel like praising him. This year hasn't been anything like any of y'all have mentioned, but I still, you know, things still go on, and I'm just thankful for the good and the bad, because he will use any of it for his glory, and I thank him.
Amen. Yes. Anyone else? Joe.
Well, I was thankful for Thanksgiving because I had both my parents and a great family. But I'm thankful for God putting me in a job, because I was, about the last 3 years, it was like I was bouncing from job to job to job where I really wasn't happy. And then I've got one that I am happy with, and I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing. And, you know, it's a testimony that God will stir you up to put you in different places. And they're always not going to be the place that you want to be, but he's going to put you there for his reason, not yours. And he has blessed me with a job and a good boss and a good company that cares about you. I mean, you don't see this too much anymore. And these are the good old Southern boys, you know, our branches down in Louisiana, and they're laid back people, and they just they really appreciate what you do. I mean, they email you and tell you thank you for the work that you're doing, and we really appreciate it. And it's good to have a company that cares about you anymore. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my wife, that her health and everything is going good, and we're being blessed. And you know, just I'm again thankful that I do have both my parents and my sibling, my sister, and I got a great brother-in-law that's got a beautiful family that we love. And there's a lot of things to be thankful for. Instead of sitting back and saying woe is me, I mean, every one of us can do that, but you need to get past that and look what God is doing in your life. You know, and that's just mine. So thank you, God.
Thank you, Joe. Linda has a PS. Yeah.
But it's still, you know, you feel like, you know, I take pride in what I do, and I always want to do the best I can do, and I don't work for man, I work for the Lord.
Yeah.
And I try to, you know, be the light there. Even though we had a bad season this year, we were 1-11. But I bet if we won the first game in our new stadium, so that's why I always went downhill from there. So,
well, you can now empathize with us Redskins fans. So. Anyone else?
And Mark and Linda were there. I'm telling you something. Mark Mark Wallace.
I wanted to call him Mark Riling.
He was the most fun ever. And him and Linda together are two characters. And what a great time it was to have our Thanksgiving with them.
Yes, that's good. All right. Let's have a little time of prayer. We want to pray for Butch. He's got hip replacement on the 31st. I got a text from Elisa Cartier yesterday afternoon. And Jim is not doing well. But she has peace in her heart. So, you know, he has the Alzheimer's, and it's getting progressively worse. And so we should pray for her. I got the text while I was at the emergency room with my dad. He had to go by ambulance to Riverside yesterday. And they found out he has congestive heart failure. So he's in the hospital. He's 91. He's supposed to have an operation this Friday coming up to remove a little spot on his throat. So I don't know if they'll still do that surgery or not. But anyway, I'd like to pray for him. What else do we have? I know Kim is recovering, Freddie and Diane's daughter. Okay, Matthew. Okay. All right, yeah. Okay. Laura has no voice. Let's pray for her. Did I see another hand? Yes, okay. Yes, for your, what is it called again? Okay, all right. Felicia? Okay. You have your hand? Bob. Yeah. Sure. Yep. All right. Greg, would you lead us in those prayers, please? And let's pray, agree with Greg as he prays. Be active in your agreement, please.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, we know that many things are going on in our body, mm-hmm. Lord, in our extended body. And, Lord, we know that these things don't catch you by surprise.
Right.
Lord, we know that you're already on the job. We're thankful that you're on the throne, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, we know that we can come and bring these petitions to you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father God, we do lift them to you, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just touch each one of these persons that were mentioned, Lord. Help Butch, Lord, as he goes into the surgery. Lord, we pray for the doctors and the nurses to come in alignment right now in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Lord, we pray for every part of his preparation to be on time, Lord, so that everything goes smooth, Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And we do lift up Bob this morning, Lord. Mm-hmm. We ask you to touch his body, Lord,
yes.
From the top of his head, Lord, to the soles of his feet, Lord Jesus. We pray for him, Lord. We pray for Jim and Karen's daughter, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would touch her in a mighty way, Lord. We come against this disease in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Kim, Lord, as she's recovering. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to continue to touch her. Lord Jesus, that, Lord, that you are the one who restores us, Lord. You're the one who heals our bodies, Lord. Yes. You are the healer.
Thank
Lord,
you.
We lift up Felicia, Lord, with her lower back, Lord. We ask you to touch it right now in Jesus' name, Lord. We cause that spine to come in alignment right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we come against pain in Jesus' name,
yes.
Lord. We say, go. Go back to the pit.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we pray for Laura right now, Lord, for her throat. We ask that you would just touch it, Lord, right now. Lord, we pray for that voice box, Lord, to be touched and healed,
mm-hmm.
Lord Jesus, and whatever's causing her to lose her voice, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would touch it, Lord Jesus, that you would make it whole, Lord, the way that you created her, Lord, wonderfully and fearfully, Lord. And so, Lord, if I forgot any, Lord, I just pray for those, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to move in this house,
mm-hmm.
Lord, in
yes.
our body, Lord
Thank
Jesus.
You, Lord.
Lord, we pray for those who aren't here today, Lord, because of something that's going on in their bodies, for their infirmities, Lord. Right now, Lord, we just pray that you would just touch them, Lord, and heal them, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these things, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you are moving on our behalf.
Yes.
We get great comfort and peace, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask Roberta if she would come up. I've asked her to, she said that she had an encounter she wanted to share with us. So you would come on up. And you do have 5 minutes.
I know. Okay.
Are you ready?
Can you hear me? Okay.
You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
You sure? You see the window up there?
When I was 23, I purchased an around-the-world trip ticket. I was going to fly around the world by myself in 80 days. I was going to come back New Year's Eve and possibly get engaged. Instead, I spent 6 months in Europe, 3 months in a commune, and I became a Christian. I came back home. I continued to date this man, and one night he proposed, and I said yes. I asked him if we could get together the next day to talk about the wedding, but he said he had to work. He lived in New York City on the Upper West Side, 119th Street. He worked at 116th Street. I lived on the East Side on East 70th Street. I got up the next morning, got on my knees, told God that I knew a Christian was not supposed to marry a non-Christian, but I had to marry him. I could not keep myself from marrying him. And if God didn't want me to marry him, God was going to have to do something. I got on a bus to go to Coney Island. There was my fiancé, actively engaged, talking to another woman. I walked right by him, closer than I am to any of you. He came to the back of the bus and said, "I just had to make sure." I said, "It's over," and it was. Next, my nursing career took a hit. I was working in the allergy clinic, and I started making little mistakes until I made a big mistake. I gave too much allergen to a med student who started gasping for breath, and I thought I killed him. I can still, right now, see his face. So I moved out of the allergy clinic into private duty nursing. Things were no better. I made a medication error. I thought a woman could stand, an elderly woman, and she fell on her back during an x-ray. It was about this time I decided I was not suited to be a nurse. I picked the wrong career. So I told God I was no longer going to be a nurse. I was a miserable failure in nursing. I'd do anything else. He told me that I was more interested in my image than really being a good nurse. And he said, if I kept my eyes on him and did everything he told me to do, I wouldn't kill anybody. That was my big fear, that I was going to jail. So I really did that, and my nursing career did a complete 180. And also my life picked up. I married the right man, the one back there. Okay. I was asked by a hospital in New York to represent the hospital at a conference in Montreal on October 31st, 1976. But God said, "You can't go," but gave me no reason. I had a lot of pressure from the vice president of of the hospital, who, when he found out it was a God thing, had me speak to the chief chaplain. But God said, you can't go. So I didn't go. The conference came off. There was no discernible reason why I should not be at that conference until a while later. Our oldest son was conceived on October 31st, 1976, and at his dedication, there was a word over him that he was going to stand for the truth in a dark time, and he was going to see the dead raised to life. Amen. And I have more time.
Thank you very much.
That was awesome.
All right. Well, it's a joy to share the word of the Lord with you this morning. I know that I said last week that I was did divine encounters with God wrap up last week, but I guess I didn't. I figured out what I was going to preach this week, and I said, man, that's an encounter. It's an encounter with God. So they might all be encounters with God. I don't know, but I just love this time of the year. I love the holidays. I love the music. I love the lights. I love Thanksgiving. It's such a good time. We had 31 people at our house. Our kids had called us and said, we want to take care of the food and the cleanup and the preparation, but we need your house. And so we said, great. So Bebo told them this was a new Thanksgiving tradition. And it was just really, really nice. We had a really good time together, lots of fun. We got to seize the moment and got our Christmas decorations and down and the tree put up. And Felicia was there. She helped decorate the tree and got the lights on there. I had to prompt her a little bit, but she did do great. And so it's just a great time of the year. I love it, and as I put in the bulletin, I'm encouraging you as you enter this time of the year, and I knew when I put this in the bulletin I would be challenged on it, that to enjoy this season. And I even put in the bulletin, when the tangled lights, just find a reason to rejoice. And wouldn't you know, those lights were tangled this year, and I just knew I was going to be challenged on it. And so there's plenty of opportunities for frustration during these holidays. Don't let the enemy steal from you. And just intentionally slow down and think about what's really important and move forward. Hallelujah. So this morning I want to share a scripture with you, and it's about Thanksgiving, and it's one I'm sure we've all heard, but it's very interesting. Here in Luke 17 and verse 11, now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So this is not a parable. This is a factual event that happened. And leprosy is a terrible sickness. It's an infectious disease. You know, there's still like 100 or 200 cases that pop up every year in the United States, 250,000 new cases throughout the world of leprosy. And you know, we've seen pictures of lepers with severe skin sores that are disfiguring to the face, and your hands and your feet, that it takes your feeling away. And often lepers wind up with claw hands and club feet, and they, you know, because of no feeling, they drag their feet, and it's just the nerve endings lose their feeling, their muscles go weak. Often blindness is associated with it. The nasal cavities get greatly infected. It's just a terrible, terrible sickness. And in Jesus' day, they quarantined lepers, and they actually had to identify themselves, you know, and yell out, unclean, unclean, so that nobody would come near them. And it wasn't just a sickness of the body, but there was a stigma associated with it. There was a rejection. You were an outcast. And you'll note that in the passage I read that they did not yell out, "Jesus, heal us." They said, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And, you know, it's a thing that you're now isolated from your family. You can't do the things with your kids, your grandkids. You're not going to soccer games. You're not attending plays. You're not having an affectionate moment with your wife or your spouse. Your job's been affected. I mean, it just affects everything around you. And this passage that we read, as I just dove into it and kind of just really said, what is going on here? There's a real sense of casualness about the encounter, that it's not really planned. It's not foreseen. It's not a scheduled event. It's not a church service. It's just a routine thing that happens. You know, Jesus said to his disciples sometimes, you know, like the demoniac of Gadarenes, he said, "We must go to the other side." It was in his heart, in his mind to go. But then there are other times when you have to acknowledge the humanity of Christ, that he was not aware of what was going on around him. He was led by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Spirit to heal the demoniac in Gadarenes. He was led by the Spirit in many things. But there were other times he just, "Who touched me?" "Lord, there's lots of people around you." "What do you mean, who touched you?" "Power just left my body." He was unaware. And this was one of those times, because if you notice the passage, it says, "Now it happened as he went into this city." There's this routine of the day kind of a feel to it. You know, when he healed them and he saw them, he said, when he saw them, he said, "Now go present yourselves to the priest." And so it was, as they went, they saw that they were healed. There's this real, like, this routine. You know, we all have routines, and their routines of the 10 lepers and the routine of Jesus was interrupted by this event. And sometimes that just happens, and throughout the day, you know, occasionally, you know, you might be getting a garment, and you're getting ready to wash it, and you look in the pocket, and there's $20. You know, you're like, man, you know, you just find some money or something. Or I remember one time I was going through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and when I got up to my order, they said, "The person ahead of you just paid for your order." You know, it's just, wow, that's a nice blessing. I remember one time we went to a NASCAR race in Martinsville, and Greg got us that through a Snap-on. And one of the guys that went, Terry's brother Bobby, was a big Earnhardt fan. And somehow, it just happened, he got an Earnhardt signed jacket. You remember that? And he was just all excited. Just something in his day happened. I remember years ago when our kids were little, and Bebo's sister's was sick, and we had her kids with us, and somebody had submitted my name to the local Christian radio station, and I'm at work, and I'm listening to it, and they mentioned my name. And if you called within 10 minutes or something, you got the, you know, I think we got $300 or something, you know. And we were able to go and do shopping. It was just in the routine of the day, you know. You know, one time I was in a cast from my hip to my ankle. I blew out my knee, or some guy blew my knee out, really. He just threw his weight into it when we were playing softball. But when I got out of that cast, it was very hard to walk. I went through physical therapy. But one night at New Covenant Church, we had a time of prayer, and Glenn Oder laid his hand on my knee, and I could feel heat, and the power of God hit my knee, and it was just healed. It was just a regular service, you know. There was nothing, there was not a healing evangelist that came through. It was just a routine. Any of y'all ever have that? Just in the routine of the day, a nice blessing comes on. But, you know, let me be clear. This is not luck or a coincidence or a fluke or an accident or anything like that. But there are two things that kind of stick out at me. It was a lot, but one of them is, it says in verse 12, "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers." That word "met" is not a, it's an intentional word. If I looked it up, other places that it was used in the Greek there. When Jesus was telling his disciples that we're going to have the Passover, I want you to go and get us a room. And Jesus said, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." That meeting was an intentional meeting. The nobleman, when his son was healed, it says that as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, "Your son lives." So the servants were going to meet the nobleman with intention. The disciples were going to meet a man that was intentionally set up. It says, "What king going to war doesn't sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him?" There's an intentional thing here. So these, while it was a casual routine day, when the lepers saw Jesus, they intentionally met him. They cried out to him. They seized a moment in their routine day to call on the Lord. Hallelujah. And they asked him, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, I want you to catch this. We have routines. Every day we go through routines. There are opportunities for blessing in our routines. And here we have two routine worlds that are colliding. We routinely have needs, and God routinely does miracles. That's a great collision. But somehow, in the middle of your routine, you have to be aware that a miracle worker is among you. Sometimes we can get so much in our routine, we miss the opportunity to cry out and say, "Lord, have mercy on me." We miss it sometimes. And it's interesting to observe these two worlds colliding. I want you and me to imagine we're 10 lepers. Now look, these 10 guys, I mean, if you've all got leprosy, and you're all outcast, and you're all got to say, tell, you know, announce, "Don't come near me, I can infect you." These 10 probably, they probably hung together, wouldn't you think? I mean, 10 guys. In my mind, they're, you know, their language is probably interesting. You get 10 men together, 10 infected men that are rejects from society, I can only imagine what it was like when these guys hung around together. They probably had names for each other that weren't really good. You know, blue-collar guys just... This is the way I imagine the story. And they see Jesus. And they cry out for mercy. And Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest. And that's what you had to do to be declared healed. The priest would observe whether you were recovered, whether there was a miracle. And if he declared it, you were done. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And the 10 of them start their little journey. And it says, as they went, they got healed. Now, can you imagine what that moment was like? Your whole life has changed. As you walk, your fingers, your nose, you can walk now. You're not dragging your feet. I would imagine there were smiles. I would imagine there were tears. I would imagine there was joy, there was celebrating, there was happiness. I mean, what would you do? What would you do if you were that person and you're walking, you're dragging your foot, you're wrapped up, and you look, you know, terrible, and all of a sudden, oh my gosh. And you look at your other 9 guys around you, and you see them getting healed. I mean, this is, their routine is now not a routine day anymore. And when this event happens, I mean, there's a lot we can learn, but we are taught in this true story about the response. And there's only 2 categories of responses, only 2 ways to respond, only 2 types of responses, only 2 forms of responses, only 2 descriptions of the response. 10 lepers on a routine day with intention asked God for mercy. 10 lepers followed the instruction to go to the priest, and 10 lepers were healed along the way, but only 1 leper returned and he gave thanks. 10%. 1 out of 10. All healed, but 1 gave thanks. He was grateful. And the response creates a reaction in Jesus. Jesus answered in verse 17 and said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Where are the other 9? Now, I sense disappointment in the Lord here. A notable miracle was performed at their request that changed their lives completely, and only 1 returns. Now, I think we can all relate to this kind of disappointment. If you have kids, you know, you might, Christmas morning, kid's upset because he didn't get what he thought he should get. You know, you all probably said, you ought to be thankful for what you got. I remember one time Caleb, my mother got him clothes, and his response was, stupid old clothes. It's funny now, but Bebo and I weren't laughing at that moment. We told him, buddy, you better be thankful for what you got. You tell Mama you're sorry. And my mom's response was, I'll never get him clothes again. And to this day, we kid him about that. Even this Thanksgiving, we were talking about stupid old clothes. Or you and your spouse are going off for the weekend, and your teenage children are at home, and you have cleaned the house, and you got it just right, so when you come home and you told them, I don't want a mess when I get home, and you get home and it's a mess. And you're just disappointed. Or someone asks you to borrow their car, and you have a full tank of gas, and you say, yeah, you can borrow my car, and you get it back, and it's got half a tank. It's just disappointing. You've done something for someone, and there's no appreciation. And I believe the Lord was disappointed here. And this is really prevalent in our society today, a lack of gratefulness, a lack of appreciation. And we have to, as a church, the body of Christ, we can't let that rub off on us. We need to be grateful. You know, we see it in the, I don't know. To me, it just irks me. You ever been irked? I'm irked when someone thinks that we should pay off their student loans. To me, that's just, you decided to go to school. Why should I pay for that? Now, if I on my own want to help you, that's one thing. But it's another thing for you to expect that I'm entitled to this. And that's just not right. It's disappointing. It's selfish expectation. And some of you may say, well, Pastor, maybe they were all grateful. It just doesn't express this in the story. Well, maybe they did. Maybe they said a little prayer, you know, as they were there. Wow, thanks, you know. Maybe they said to their families, we met this, that Jesus did this for us, and we're really thankful. Maybe they did, but only one is shown as an example. One is set up as an example of what true thanksgiving is. And what made this guy different? Verse 15, it says, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Notice, one of them turned casualness into intentional action. He returned. He turned around with intention and went back to give thanks. He praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face giving thanks to the Lord. Thanksgiving, true thanksgiving, is an expression of gratefulness and of worship and of love. And God provides lots of ways for us to be able to do that. In the Hebrew, there's one English word, praise, but there are seven Hebrew words for praise. Barak is one of them. It means to kneel in thanksgiving. Halah is one of them. It means thanks, clamorously foolish. Zamar is another one. It means thanks with a musical instrument. Yada, thanks with extended hands. Saba, thanks in a loud tone. Tila, to sing a song of thanksgiving. And Toda is a thanksgiving choir, a group. The common theme here is thanksgiving and expression, not internal thinking. External expression. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Here is the Hebrew. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, toda, a thanksgiving choir, and into his courts with praise, tila, singing praises. Be thankful, yada, extended hands unto him, and bless, barak, kneel in his name. Enter his gates with a thanksgiving choir and into his court singing praises. Be thankful by extending your hands to him and bless him by kneeling in his name. Four of the seven are mentioned in one verse. Let me drive this home. Some of you say, well, Pastor, I just don't feel comfortable outwardly expressing myself. I'm conservative. I don't like to shout. I don't like to draw attention to myself. I don't like, you know, these things. I can't sing. I can't carry a tune. I don't like to raise my hands. Well, that just might be the point. True gratefulness is doing something you don't like. It's intention. The example shows us someone intentionally turning around and giving outward expression. The example does not show us anyone that says, I'm thankful, I'm not going to say it out loud, I'm just going to think it in my thoughts. Stay with me here, but maybe, just maybe, you don't realize the miracle they received. Or maybe you don't realize the miracle you received. Maybe you don't understand how great your salvation is. Maybe if you can't express it, you're not really grateful. Well, hang with me. Let me go through this. Miracles precede gratitude. Well, I thought gratitude would precede miracles. No, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Thanksgiving is an expression of something you have received. How crazy would it be if I went up, you know, and said, Greg, thank you for the Christmas present you're going to give me. I really, thank you. I haven't received anything. Now look, there is an element where we know God is so good. I mean, the scripture does says, let your requests be known with thanksgiving. But when you are going to praise, you are praising God for something he did for you. Hallelujah. The miracle preceded the gratitude. The leper was healed, and then he went back and he gained thanks. The Red Seas were parted, and then when they got on the other side, they got the tambourines out and they thanked God. The blind man was healed, and then he says, all I know is once I was blind and now I can see. Hallelujah. The demoniac was healed, and then he said, I want to go with you, Lord, wherever it is you go. We are saved by the grace of God, and we need to express it. The progression is this: an evident need, a miracle received, a grateful heart outwardly expressed. Hallelujah. Well, let me ask you this. If that's the progression, what preceded the miracle? Obedience. So when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. As they obeyed, they were healed. And this is all through Scripture. Moses, lift your rod. Lifts the rod, Red Sea's part. He had to obey. Jesus' first miracle, servants, fill the pots with water. They obeyed. Water got turned into wine. The widow that was poor, gather vessels, not a few. Pour the oil into one of the vessels. There had to be an obedience to that. Naaman, a leper, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And he got healed. The man with the withered hand, extend your hand. Oh, I'm too ashamed to extend my hand. Well, then you're not going to get the miracle. No, he extended his hand. The lame man, rise up and walk. Fishermen that had been toiling all night, go out there again and throw your nets over the side. God tests our faith with obedience. You take a step of obedience, and God takes a giant leap towards you. Hallelujah. Well, how do you obey? You say yes, and then you do what he said. Hallelujah. Hey, water baptism. Water baptism, you don't have to be water baptized to enter the kingdom of God. The thief on the cross certainly didn't. But God wants you to be baptized. You just might have your finger in the dike, and as soon as you obey, boom, you can open it. You can open the floodgates of God through obedience. God's tug to serve and you say no, you need to say yes. Sharing your faith, tithing, they're all obedient actions. Is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. If you're sick, you need to come and have us pray for you. Someone else is sick, you need to provide a meal for them. The scripture tells us, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Hallelujah. So the progression, you obey, receive a miracle, be grateful, and express it. Express it by extending your hands, loudly proclaiming the blessing of God in your life, kneeling in His presence. Beloved, miracles are all around us. We just need to open our eyes. Jesus taught us this. When we bless the food or we give thanks, we say, this is a miracle provision of God. This is what the pilgrims did. They gave thanks for a reason that God provided. Jesus started that. They said, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. When he took 7 loaves of 2 fishes, he opened his eyes, it says. He looked up to God and he says, thank you. I mean, here's the miracle worker. What's he thanking for? I mean, he could create it if he wanted to. No. Thank you, God, for your provision. He took the cup and he gave thanks at the Last Supper. When Jesus gives thanks, it's an example that we should give thanks. And I also want you to note that while 10, the word says, were cleansed, one, at the very end, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. There's a difference between cleansed and made well. Cleansed is an outward cleansing. To made well, be made well is an inward cleaning up that happens. Hallelujah. So, I just wanted to share that with you this morning, that you always have something to be thankful for. Jenny was sharing with us today about this year. She's glad it's going to be over. But you know what? Next year might be better, might be worse. But she said, God's not failed her yet. And the scripture says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know what God's will is? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hallelujah. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. I mean, you can be in some bad situations and not wish you ever had it. But I tell you what, you can always be thankful. Always be thankful. Are you grateful this morning? Are you grateful for what God has done in your life? Lord, help us to be more free to express ourselves. Lord, help us to, with intention, give you thanks. Lord, help us to obey you to be able to move forward. Help us to hear your voice. Lord, help us not to take the blessings that you have given us for granted. Would you rise to your feet this morning and just join me in giving thanks to God with a loud noise? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for your blessings, oh God. We give you honor. We give you glory today, oh God. We thank you, God. Thank you for healing. Thank you for touching us. Lord, with intention, we bless your name. We give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless your name. Thank you, God. Thank you for your many blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Lord, you are so good. Lord, help us to humble ourselves. And Lord, bless your holy name. Step out of that comfort zone, Lord, and with intention to bless you and praise you. And as a church, we thank you, Lord. Lord, for everything you're doing in our midst, Lord. In everything, we give thanks. Hallelujah. Because you are working all things together for good. Hallelujah. As we look to you. I thank you for these people. I pray as they go this week, Lord, you would bless them. I pray, Lord, as they enter this season, Lord, it would be the best Christmas ever. Lord, because something is happening in their heart and they're being made well. In Jesus' name. We go in your peace. We go in your confidence. And we are thankful that we are the sheep of your pasture. In Jesus' name, amen.